Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
I'm starting a new series that's going to look at the life of Abraham and just his remarkable journey of faith. And so it's titled Abraham Following in the Footsteps of Faith. Let's look at part one. You know, the reality is that few men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself have had such an impact on the history of the world as that the man we're speaking about in the passages of scripture that are about to come, and that's Abraham. He is a revered figure by over half of the world's population. In our day, Abraham is held in high esteem by Jews, Muslims, and Christians. In ancient times, the Jews considered Abraham to be almost worthy of their worship. In the Bible, Abraham is presented to us as a great example of a man who lived his life by faith. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 8 to 19, and James chapter number 2, verse 23, records the fact that Abraham was called the friend of God. This man's life was such a special life, and a great portion of the first book of the Bible is devoted to his life. Today, we're going to begin a study of the life of this man named Abraham. Now, some may ask, why take the time to study a man who lived over 4,000 years ago? My answer to you is that the Bible takes the time to speak about him, so we should take the time to study him. The second is that the life of Abraham teaches us more about the matter of walking with God by faith. That, after all, is the goal of the Lord for all of us as his children. God is calling every one of his children to live a life of faith, and this man teaches us exactly how we ought to do that. Let's read now from Genesis chapter number 11, verse 27, all the way to the third verse of chapter 12. This is the count of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in the Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nabor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Verse 30, now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive, the Bible says. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of the son of Abram, and together they set out from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died there in that place called Haran. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And of all the people on the earth, they will be blessed through you. You see, these verses teach us about the early years of Abraham's life. They show us how the Lord found him, called him, and promised to bless him. On the surface, they may seem as though they have little to say to us in our day. However, nothing could be farther from the truth. The early days and call of this man's life teaches us some valuable lessons about God, his ways, and about our response to him as to how it should be. Since it is true that God has and is calling each of his children to a life of faith, as seen in Romans chapter 14 verse 23 and Romans chapter 1 verse 17, and since we have trouble living that kind of life day by day, we need to hear what the Bible teaches us in these verses about Abraham's call to faith. Let's look on the events that transpired more than 4,000 years ago and see what we can learn about the call to a life of faith. In verses 27 to 30, we see that Abram's past obscurity and it was simply just wretched years. There was a time in the distant past when Abraham was a mere nobody. He was just another nameless face in the crowd of humanity. He was just one person who was plagued by obscurity. The place of his original home, the Ur of the Chaldees, was located in what we call Iraq today. It was in the southeast corner of Iraq, some 75 miles north of the Kuwait border, right in the middle of the area where the Gulf War was fought in 1991. It was, at Abraham's time, located at a place where the Euphrates River emptied into the Persian Gulf. At that time, it was a bustling seaport where trade was conducted with India and Africa. History also says that the city was a center of intellectual activity. A large public library has been unearthed that contained thousands of ancient texts that were written in clay. That region was also well suited for raising flocks and herds, which may account for the fact that Abraham was, for the whole of his life, involved with sheep and cattle. Problems of his original home. While that area was which spawned Abraham may have been prosperous, it was also perverted. The people of that area were involved in some of the most rich forms of idolatry known to mankind. That city was an important center for astrology and for the worship of stars and moon. And how interesting that God took Abraham and showed him the stars and said, "Count them, for as many as the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea, so shall your descendants be." The fact of their wickedness is born out of the testimony of the scriptures themselves. And this is seen in Joshua chapter 24 verse 2, Genesis chapter 31 verse 30 to 34. They relate that while Abraham was able to break free from the idolatry of the land, his relatives were not. There we find that his great nephew Laban and Jacob's wives Leah and Rachel. Many years later, Isaiah reminded the nation of Israel to remember where God had brought them from in Isaiah chapter 51 verse 1. He called their father Abraham out of the most rich conditions, spiritually speaking, the pain of his original home. As one reads these verses, the wretchedness and the hopelessness of Abraham's years in Ur comes to the surface. For him, it was a time of darkness and despair. No matter how you look at it, Abraham's early years were not easy years. When you get right down to it, you and I were no different from Abraham. We might have not have served stone gods and worshipped heavenly bodies, but we were all trapped in the same darkness that enveloped the life of Abraham. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 3, we see how the Bible tells us that we were spiritually dead. It rejoices my heart to know that the God that we serve is a God who can reach into the blackest heart and turn on the light of his glory and presence. I praise him that he can take a life that was so hopeless and barren and turn it into one of the greatest examples of the power of faith and grace that can be found anyway. The whole point is this: regardless of where we come from or of what baggage we carry with us now, God is able to come where we are, change us for his glory. He can make new creatures of us for his glory. No one is beyond the touch of the Lord, not even like a pagan like Abraham used to be. Abraham's partial obedience, the wasted years. At chapter 12, verse 1, we see the call to depart. We are not told how the call came to Abraham. Notice the word "had." But we are told that God spoke to this man in darkness and called him into the light to follow a new path. Abraham was called to leave behind everything he loved and everything that had shaped his life up until that point. He was ordered to leave his region and religion and his relatives behind. For this man, it would be a difficult task. He was issued a call to follow to a faith and to a new future. He was to leave his home, not knowing where he was going or where he would arrive. He was to leave all such matters into the hands of the Lord. The call of Abraham raises some questions that the Bible does not answer. Firstly, why did the Lord picked this one man out of all the men on the earth? Why didn't God choose some of the other inhabitants of the world or of earth to call to this new adventure called faith? The answer to those questions is simply, we don't know. I would ask this question, why does God call anyone? Why did he call you and not your neighbor? Why did he call you and not your co-worker? The answer to those questions dwell within the cloud of God's sovereignty. And the answer is simply not for us to know. Regardless of why God calls who he does, those who have been called by him should rejoice in the fact that they've been saved and are now secure in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the day the clear call came to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless his name for the day he turned the lights on my soul and showed me the way to himself. Therefore, we should rejoice that we've been called out of darkness. When the call of God does come to a life, it is a call for that person to sever all ties with their past life. This is exactly what happened with Abraham. His call is a call to a new life with new priorities and a new Lord. His call is a call for total commitment, as seen in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. His call is for a believer to leave the old life behind and begin a new life of faith, where every moment is lived on utter dependence on the Lord, for him, for every need. That is the nature of the divine call. God's call for you is to follow without your being concerned about the destination. His call for you is to leave the details to him. His call is for surrender, regardless of what it costs, where it leads, or how much it hurts. His call is for us to follow him. The compromise in devotion. The nature of Abraham's call was for him to leave. Note the word thee in chapter 12, verse 1. Yet when they left Ur, notice that it was they who went. It seems that Abraham compromised by not separating himself from his relatives like Lot, as he had been commanded. If you look at chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show thee." And guess what? He went with they. Some may argue that he just wanted to take his family with him as he began his journey for the Lord. That is noble, but it should be noted that there's no indication that they were saved at all. There's no hint that they ever placed their faith in the Lord as Abraham did. The only ones who were saved, it would seem, were Abram, Sarai, and Lot. The rest were still pagans trapped in the darkness of their sins. The Bible says that they came to Haran and dwelt there. If you look at the map, you'll find that Haran is north and east of the Promised Land. This is not where God called Abraham to be. He has not gone all the way for the Lord. He had failed to separate from his family, and he had failed to arrive to the place that God had called him. Always remember that partial obedience is simply disobedience. Until you've done all that God says for you to do, you haven't done what God has said you must do. What has the Lord told you to do that you haven't done? Have you come short in the obedience department? I know firsthand, not all of God's commands are easy to obey. Some are difficult, some are frightening, and some are costly. But all to be obeyed without question by the child of God who wishes to walk by faith and to be found pleasing to the Lord. Notice that Abraham did not leave Haran and fully follow the Lord's command until the death of his father Terah. And Terah means station or delay. It has an idea of stopping, a stopping place, a rest area, or a roadblock. Evidently, Terah was a roadblock between Abraham and his doing of the will of God. When Terah was removed from the scene, Abraham was ready to move on in the things of God. Terah is a type of flesh and other things that hinder our progress in the things of our Lord. You will see that until those things are taken care of and reckoned dead, as Romans chapter 6 verse 11 says, there will be no progress or little progress. What is your terror today? oh, if you were exactly where the Lord wants you to be, you would be so much further. But beware, my friends, of the terror that waits to serve as a roadblock, a hindrance, and a delay in your obedience to the Lord. We all need to be careful that we do not stand in the way of others doing the will of God. If you aren't careful, you just might find yourself being a terror to someone in your life. Don't let your lack of faith prevent someone else from following God fully, the cost of delay. Abraham's delay in this matter of obedience was costly to him. While he lingered in Haran, precious years passed him by. Those were years that could have been spent enjoying the best that God had to offer. Instead, those years were spent watching the father that he loved waste away. Those years were spent grieved by his sins of a family still in the grip of idolatry. The work of God is too precious and time is too short for us to hesitate in carrying out orders we receive from heaven. Why should we settle for second best while wasted years pile up in our lives? Every day brings up one day closer to the grave. Let us determine in our hearts that we will make every moment count for the glory of the Lord. God was so patient in his dealings with Abraham. He gave him time to get things squared up in his life. But it is far better for us to hear his voice and to respond immediately so that he will receive all the glory. This is what Jesus did in John chapter 5 verse 19 to 20. And this is what the Lord wants for you and me too. Have you been putting something off that God has told you to do? If so, the time for delay has passed. God is busy carrying out his will today. Delay is dangerous and is costly. When we look at the first three verses of chapter 12, we see Abraham's precious opportunities, the wonder years. At the age of 75, this man named Abraham finally makes his break with his old life. He leaves out from Haran on the great adventure of faith. These verses tell us that after all those wretched years in defilement and all those wasted years in delay, that God reserved some wonderful years of delight for this old servant of his. Notice the quality of the wonder years. In verse 1, we see that Abraham was called out of gross darkness of sin to walk in the presence of the Lord. This verse implies that God intends to lead Abram in the way that he should go. God himself was going to be the director of his pathway. There's nothing in this world more precious than walking with God by faith. The faith walk puts you in a place of dependence upon the Lord, and he will not let you down. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Those who lean solidly upon the Lord need never fear that he will leave them or desert them. They need never fear that God will fail them as they lean their weight upon him. Psalm 37 verse 19. We see that we firstly see that God makes some grand promises to Abraham. Look at all the things that God promises him in these three verses of chapter 12. He promises him a new home, many offspring, great blessings, a great name. Abram would be a blessing. God would protect him from his enemy. God would bless his friends. All the world would be blessed through his faith. Abram doesn't know yet how God will work it all out, but he knows that God will do it. His faith has grown to a place where he's willing to trust God and leave the details to the providence of the Lord. He's willing to live by faith day by day as the Lord works out his plan and purpose for his life. By the way, everything that God promised to give Abraham, he did give him. He kept his promises to the letter. Also notice that some of the things are still being worked out today that will be faithfully continue to work out his promises to Abraham until they're fulfilled. And that is where he wants to bring us as well. He wants us to come to a place where we can simply take him at his word and be satisfied in our hearts that he will do as he's promised. Regardless of what the devil, the flesh, and the world tells us, we can trust God. Every one of his promises is true. You can depend on him to take care of you if you will live your life by faith. Romans chapter 4 verse 21. He will look after those who lean on him. Have you ever reached a place where you can rest in the arms of divine providence and know that he will take care of you? That's all where you need to be. Remember, no matter how life looks, God is doing what God is doing is simply for your good. As Abraham began this journey of faith, he must have questioned how God would take an idolater like him and make a blessing to all the families of the earth through his life. When he died 100 years later at the age of 175, he still did not have the answer to that question. But this man Abram died in faith. That faith was counted for as righteousness, as Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 states. And when he died, he went to a place called paradise. Well, he waited there for 2,100 years. Then one day a man appeared in that place, and that man was Jesus. This man Jesus, who descended from Abraham through his mother Mary, was the one who would make Abraham's blessing to all the families of the earth. When Abram left Haran, he did so with all his hopes hidden in his heart. He held all the unseen things of the future in the hand of faith. He trusted God to take care of it and to fulfill every promise, just as he said he would. As we live this life of faith in this world, there will be times where we cannot see the way. There will be days where we too will wonder how God could ever do anything with the likes of us. There will be times where we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Of course, some people just can't do that. If they can't see how it should be done, they won't do it. If they can't explain it, then they avoid it. These folks never grow. The people that God uses greatly are those who will walk obediently wherever the path of God leads them, whether they understand it or not, whether they like it, whether they know it will happen or not. Those are the people who get to see the Lord. They see the multitudes fed. They get to walk on the water. They walk unharmed through the fiery furnaces and the lion's den. They live a life of faith, and they get to see that the Lord will do the impossible over and over again. There's an old saying that goes, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." It took Abram a while, but he made that step. And when he did, he saw God do amazing things until he died. Have you made that first step of faith? Have you made that first step of total surrender? My friend, God is waiting on the other side of your obedience.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.